Moncrief on News Talk.
Declan and Mary join us once again to solve all your problems. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
It's the lights on, time to have ideas.
We're going to have plans.
My husband and I have been married for 16 years and for the most part have a happy relationship. The one thing that drives me mad is our sex life is monotonous, and it's my fault as much as his because I've stopped making the effort to keep the spark alive. 2 years ago when I was out with some friends, I cheated on him. This was only a kiss with another man I met in a nightclub, and I've never told my husband, nor will I ever tell him. My issue is that this other man was an absolutely amazing kisser, possibly one of the best I have ever experienced. My husband has never been a great kisser. I would never get turned on by kissing him alone. I can't stop thinking about this, and any time we are intimate, I end up just feeling empty inside, because I know I will never feel the way I did that night. There's just no real mad passion between us, and this makes me so sad. Is this something a person can improve on, or do we just get over it and move on? Kissing lessons?
You're looking at me?
Yeah, I am, Mary. Yeah, come on.
You're looking at me?
I'm looking at you. Come on.
Yeah, like I think kissing, it's a very important gateway drug to
absolutely
sex, you know.
Yeah.
And if you can fancy the knickers off somebody and think you want to spend the rest of life with them, and then they kiss you, and all bets are off if they're the shit kisser, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I think this is I think,
oh God, she married the wrong man.
No, she married the wrong man. She just married. Look at, nobody is taught how to kiss, and loads of people just go through life, you know, winging it. You know, they might have caught an episode of Love Island and they think you should sound like a dog licking water from a bowl, you know, when you kiss.
God, microphone.
Yeah, and you kind of chew the face off one another, whatever it is. I find it extremely unerotic. But what I would say to this woman is first of all, don't confuse a bit of strange, you know, as in the guy in the nightclub, because you can build all sorts of fantasy on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next time you meet him, if you did meet him and you wanted to kiss him, he might have eaten a bag of crisps. And there goes the whole, you know, the whole fantasy and the mirage around it. So what I would say, in my opinion, would be to, first of all, take ownership of the fact that you said that the spark is gone from your side as well, in terms of whatever you bring to the sexual side of the relationship. But also then to say compassionate truth. Just say it to him. Look, can we work on the old foreplay? You know, and maybe can we just change things up a little bit? And if you could say it in a loving way, don't tell him, look, you're a crap kisser and get your act together, because that's going to kill the poor man altogether. But I feel to compassionately broach the subject and maybe make it into a little game that you reinvent what happens between the sheets. Do you know what I mean? And maybe you can subtly guide him to kiss you the way you want to be kissed. I don't really see any other way. I mean, they get on in every other, the substantive part of their marriage is okay. Yeah. But I certainly wouldn't start defining how unexciting you feel your relationship, sexual part of your relationship is, by just that experience in the nightclub. Because you can, as I say, you can weave a whole fable around that.
Absolutely. Few drinks late at night.
Oh, he's
you
a
know,
god.
Oh, you know, there
is. Yeah. And when I was reading this letter, I was kind of thinking, what is the actual question? What is the actual problem here? Because, you know, it is that, there's the kind of, the storyline of Madame Bovary, you know, the story about the disgruntled. Was that too classy?
Oh, no. I love it.
The French book, which I read in French. Mm-hmm. No, but it's about, you know, Emma Bovary's kind of like this unhappy woman who kind of just blames her disquiet, you know, on her husband and everybody else. And it ends up becoming a disaster for her. Of course, that was written by a man from probably, you know. So, hello. But the bottom line of it is that what you're saying is true, Mary, is that somebody can blame their relationship. They can put all kinds of crap onto their relationship because they've got one kind of spicy experience somewhere. When in fact, that spicy experience in the nightclub with that, you know, mysterious gentleman was more of a symptom of her actual relationship than anything that was going on between the two of them in that moment. So, you know, 'cause the classic point being, as you said, is it repeatable? Wouldn't that kiss, if it happened again, be as kind of sexy and as interesting?
And also,
for her?
It could be just the fact that she was transgressing in her head.
Yeah,
that made it doubly exciting.
Of course,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
And you mentioned the words, you know, don't confuse the strangeness for being the kind of, you know, it is that whole thing, isn't it? Is that sometimes the variety, the difference can feel. That's why I was kind of talking about spice, because I was kind of variety is the spice of life. It is that whole thing of like the difference can make you feel that. Oh, that one thing that I don't have is the thing that I want. And even children know, you know, a bird in the hat or two in the bush is the real thing to learn here. Yeah. Is that the idea of what?
Unfortunate words there.
Yeah.
Okay, one man in a nightclub.
The bird in the bush is where I am.
But you know, the thing as well is that you were speaking earlier on, you were talking about nobody gets taught how to kiss. And I remember in the 1980s, we actually were taught to kiss because it was a pop song that was very successful.
Kissing with confidence. We played it on the show the other week, actually.
And it actually kind of goes through the motion and it kind of tells you how to kiss. And it's actually a really fun song. So maybe, play it to your husband and, you know.
But it is the thing. I mean, we don't, in general, I mean, maybe it's different now, but in general, we don't discuss. We're very happy with the dirty joke, or we're very happy with the, you know, the raunchier side of sex. But when it comes to just subtle truth and authenticity, we're very shy around it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
because we don't want the real. We don't want the realness to be destroyed. We want to keep our delusions. So either we make it ridiculous and stupid, and we laugh at it, or. We have to make it kind of weirdly strange so that we're kind of a different person in that situation.
Vulnerable in a way. Yeah. You're really vulnerable when you're really authentic, I think, in terms of sexual activity or just the physical side of marriage doesn't necessarily.
It's also normal, isn't it, for you know, if you're having sex with the same person for 20 years or whatever, you know, of course it might become a bit, you know, samey. The woman actually wrote in the very first line of her letter, she says, I know that's partially my fault because, you know, so she kind of knows that the answer is that she has to bring something to the party too. And whatever is on in her own mind, her own kind of erotic kind of notions or whatever, you don't have to come out. She doesn't have to say, I had a kiss from this guy.
Yeah.
In
the nuclear. Oh, no.
But,
oh,
you know, that's not necessary. But there is this element of being a little bit more open about what it is that makes you feel good.
I just thought of it's not kind of humorous. She could suggest a little game that they go to a nightclub and pretend they don't know each other.
Oh, it's true.
And then she could actually have her fantasy, and he'd probably say, "Yeah, you're mad."
Yeah, why do you want to do that when they're Carol?
But you could.
No reason. You know the show Modern Family. There's an episode of that where Phil and Claire go away for the night and they stay in a hotel, and she pretends to be a different woman that he meets, but then they go back to the house. And he's still talking to her like she's this different woman, saying, I've just realised there's a woman inside this house who I really love and I'm going to go inside and tell her. And then she follows him to the door and says, no, don't make this worse. And slams the door in her face.
Oh, my God.
Someone says, role play is a great way to spark up the sex action. I've been married for 25 years and kids and life get in the way. It can all come back to being wonderful again. Someone else says, kiss him the way you want to be kissed. Mm-hmm. Ask him to stop and let you kiss him. Then kiss him and see how he reacts. That's how to teach him. No need to have a conversation. Though, on the black and white reaction, how would she feel if her husband cheated on her? Sounds like a marriage based on lies. She has to tell him.
She only kissed him, for God's sake.
She only kissed him. And anyway, all marriages are based on lies.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh my
That's how they work a lot of the time.
Nobody would be married otherwise.
Oh, my God.
I think you're tiptoeing around the problem. She sounds like she doesn't fancy her husband anymore.
No,
she has to ask herself the hard question, have they fallen out of love?
No,
I don't think so.
It's just a little bit of reinvention is all they need.
Yeah, if you have any dilemma and you would like to subject it to the hot takes of our listeners, afternoon@newstalk.com.
Don't even think about it.
Yes. Do.
I am close with all my siblings. We generally get on well. However, my sister recently told me, completely out of the blue, that she and her husband have decided to put in a bid on a house that has recently come up for sale on my road. I was so taken aback and so affected by her excitement that initially I felt delighted by the prospect. But my wife quickly brought me back down to earth. She says they will be living too close to us, that we will lose our privacy, and that it would be better for us to maintain a certain level of distance. My wife has never been particularly close to my sister or her husband. She finds her a little cold and thinks she's a bit self-centred. But I get on very, very well with her. We often go for drinks, dinner, etc., and have a lot of shared interest. Should I try and convince my wife to get on board, or do I go down the tricky route and discourage my sister from bidding on the house?
Yes.
Two only children here.
Yeah.
This is one of those ones, isn't it? You kind of go, you know, whose problem are we trying to solve here? Because, you know, I don't think there's going to be an easy way to get through this one without it having some kind of fallout. I think there's something strange about the sister wanting to move very close to the brother if she's a cold fish, unless she's not being represented fairly in this letter. You know?
Yes, yeah.
But even still, I do think that there's certain kind of boundaries that you want. I don't know how long this road is for a start. Like, is she moving into the house
the
next door? Is she going to be one of like seven neighbours? I don't think that. Look, obviously, as well, there are loads of reasons why people don't have the choices that they want around buying where they want to live anymore, and it's not as easy as all that. All that stuff aside, I think that you need to ask yourself exactly who wants what in this situation. What it is, the wife is quite clear about what she's saying. She's saying, I don't particularly get on with your sister, don't particularly want her living next door. I can see her perspective. Do I think it's the right perspective? Not necessarily. Because the brother has what seems to be a fairly good relationship with his sister, and in a normal world for me, who cares if she's living a few doors down the road? Is she going to be knocking in, you know, looking for nosiness? I don't know.
I assume she's been in their house before. So
that's why I'm kind of going, what is the real problem?
When I was reading that, I got a kind of a strange feeling about the wife, that the wife
is a bit in trouble.
Why is she saying that the sister is cold and self-centred? Isn't that what she said? Do you know?
She doesn't like her.
She doesn't like her, and she doesn't have to like her. Do you know? But certainly, in my opinion, is I would not try to discourage the woman from buying a house. You know, it's nobody can go and just click their fingers and a house comes out.
Yeah,
market,
exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, maybe I honestly I'd say let it happen.
See what happens, because it may not happen. Yeah.
Now, I don't think there's going to be a blow up of any description. I don't think they're going to, she's not going to turn up on the doorstep every 5 minutes, the sister. And I think she's probably got the message from the wife anyway, because women are quite intuitive in that way. They go, oh, she doesn't, you know, so I'm not going to. She's probably got the message by now. So I would leave it. I personally can't see how talking to anybody in this situation could make it any different. I don't know. Like, you know, maybe nobody is aware that the wife has this feeling about. And if you did say it,
you're exposing that. Yeah, I agree.
Not a very
wise thing to do.
Yeah,
and also, you don't know what the alternative is going to be. Who's going to end up living? Like, if it's right next door, I understand some of the kind of the nervousness around boundaries and privacy. But if it's a few doors down the road, get real.
Just let it happen.
Yeah, I assume though, like, say they might see them once a month or something, but if they're just down the road, it might be more than that.
Yeah.
And the wife's going, oh God, even more of these people. But no one has the right to tell someone not to bid in a house.
Absolutely not.
But also, you know, bidding on a house isn't a foregone conclusion as well.
Exactly.
You know, if you say to her, please don't bid in the house, and she goes, no, I'm going to bid in the house anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't.
I think it seems a bigger problem than it actually will turn out to be if they move in.
Hopefully.
I can't imagine them camping out on the doorstep. They'll have their own lives and their own things to do.
And it's also like, why did the husband suddenly have this about face? The one minute he's kind of happy about it, and then suddenly, you know, whatever piece of information the wife shared with him suddenly makes him see I think that's a bit strange.
You're right.
You know, what's so influential about her position? Or Is it something quite simple that he's just never going to be there, and the sister and the wife will be the ones?
Oh, they'll work that out themselves then. Yeah. You know, so I mean, they will.
He likes the wife. That's my impression.
He gets on with his sister and his her husband.
Yeah.
So, and good for him. You know what I mean? So let the wife not get on if that's what she wants to, and she's a big girl, and
she's the one that needs to do the work. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And if she doesn't want to do the work, that's fine too.
Yeah. I love a bit of gossip as much as the next person, and we have one friend who is notorious for it. He's a great storyteller, always weaving a yarn about what so-and-so is up to. We love this about him. He also happens to be my oldest and closest friend. I've known him over the years that if you tell him something that happened to you, that it's likely to be retold to someone else, and I don't necessarily have any problem with that. I'm a pretty open person. Generally speaking, his stories are fairly harmless. This person scored this person, or this person did this stupid thing type stories. However, in the last 2 months, he's told me two really private and really inappropriate stories. One about his girlfriend and one about our mutual friend. And at least in the case of the friend one, I know that this was supposed to be a secret kept between the two of them. I'd imagine the girlfriend story is the same. I have told this man a few things over the years, but I would hate to be common knowledge, and I've specifically asked him to keep them a secret. I had always thought that he respected that line and understood what was being asked of him when it was mentioned specifically. Now that I know he doesn't, I'm worried about what he has said about me to other people. This has really gotten into my head, even though some of these secrets are from years ago. Should I confront him about what he's told me, or should I leave it alone and not remind him of more potential gossip?
Well, my answer to that is, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword.
Yes.
And if you like gossip, like what I got about the gossip was, as long as it didn't affect him or concern him, he was quite happy to listen to something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, if you go, everybody gossips. We all gossip. But if it's something, I personally feel I draw the line when somebody is telling me something that's going to make somebody else look stupid, when, you know, there's no reason for it, or there's something nasty that is being shared. Because you never know. Gossip is usually, you know, as I said, there's my side, your side, and the middle is the truth somewhere. And I just got the feeling there that there was a lot of little, you know, little bits and pieces that mightn't have seemed that serious to him because it didn't concern him. But now he's hearing this other. If you say to a proper gossip, don't ever repeat this back, they will repeat it back again and again, and again. And that's the case. If you know he's a gossip, that's what's going to happen. I personally wouldn't say anything to him about that, because he might have forgotten whatever you're worried about ever happened. But if you bring it back to him, he's going to say, oh, do you know something I forgot about what so-and-so, let me tell you this to somebody else. So I think I would stop the gossip with him, and I would say nothing about the past stuff. And just remember that when it's gossip and it is been passed on at somebody's disadvantage. There's a great line from a Joan Armour Trading song. You're making somebody an unknowing fool, and that's what you're doing. So you're only becoming aware of how harmful it can be when it affects you. I would stop it. I mean I gossip about the Real Housewives. That's about the only thing I gossip about, because I stay away from other stuff, because you never know what's true and what's not true.
No, this is true.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. And
maybe it's not. I think the thing about people who are just, I agree with you that we all gossip is you know, it's people use it as a kind of a bonding technique
and stress relief as well,
and a way to kind of show you know what side you are in a particular issue, and you know, there's a lot of ways in which it's a very normal and very kind of integrating part of communities and society, whatever, blah blah blah. But I do think though that sometimes people can get an idea of themselves that, as was presented in this letter, of being a good storyteller, as being entertaining with it. And then once you have the two qualities, because the little sharing of pieces of information is transactional, and that's kind of normal, but the bit where you're liking the attention that you're getting from sharing the stories, and then you become the one that's, you know, has a reputation of being the good gossip or the good storyteller, then that's when, for that person, their ego is involved, and then they share with kind of impunity. And it's only when somebody else calls them out on it and says to them, that's where I would say, actually, in this instance, for me, I would be very quick to tell that person to their face in a moment, I don't think you should be telling, whatever it is, I don't think you should be saying that, or whatever way you find to kind of neuter
the
conversation.
Well, in the case where he said of the two stories,
yes,
definitely that.
Should you be saying that? I thought that was meant to be whatever, because what that does then is it puts the mirror up to the storyteller's face to make them realise that what they think they're doing to kind of get elevated status in the group is suddenly making them, you know, look like little bitches, and that's not great. But I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to gossip.
But the person who wrote into us likes him because he's a gossip. That's formed part of their relationship. He was very entertaining with the stories. Only when it occurred to her that, oh, hang on, might be talking about me this way.
So I think, you know, you have to. It's if your gossip is slightly intentionally salacious, well, of course, all, you know, salacious gossip is the best stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I say, this kind of harmful gossip where somebody is made to look like a fool, or you're having a laugh at somebody's expense and they don't know it.
Oh, it's like,
you know, that's...
If you're not at the row, if you're not at the meal, you're the one who's for dinner, is an expression that we have among our friends. That's how I have, you know, I have a group of friends and I just know that if I'm not there, I'm the one that's being discussed, because everybody else who isn't in that group gets discussed, because that's just how, you know, it doesn't have to be really mean and vicious, but you just know, I'm a bit cringy.
Okay, this is a quick one. I've been asked to go for a sea swim as a first date. Part of me feels like this is a move on the lad's behalf, as they'll see me in a bikini, which I hate the idea of. But another part of me thinks it's a good way to actually chat as a sort of activity for us to bond over. Is a sea swim as a first date just a ploy for them to see you in your togs and then assess whether they like what they see?
Is it? I don't think it is. Yeah, I mean, kind of maybe it is, but I don't know if I personally would suggest a go on a sea swim on your first date, but I understand the dilemma, but I think, look, I'd rather do something else. You know.
I have a young friend who goes on dates and stuff like that. And they always, it's always, will you go for a hike? Will you do that? It's never, let's go to the cinema or go to dinner. They do something active, you know. So I think a sea swim is quite a good one because, okay, I'm just being really, really silly here. Like, in terms of if he sees you in a bikini, I wouldn't go for a sea swim in a bikini. I'd
no, anyway.
Much more covered because...
Where do you think you live?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But also, you're going to see his gentleman's department as well.
So exactly. Especially coming out of that freezing sea. That's not going to...
You'll know what you're dealing with.
That's not going to flatter anyone.
Dive right in, girl. That's what I say.
Declan, Mary, thank you both very much. Afternoon at newstalk.com if you have questions for this slot.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.